This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, is out today. Of course, the big story is the big hangover after last night's happy celebration that stretched into the early morning hours. We're talking, of course, about the Red Sox, who thumped the St. Louis Cardinals last night 6-1 in Game 6 of the World Series, completing this improbable journey from last place in 2012 to a championship in just 1 year. Boston has now won 8 World Series banners, 3 in the last 10 years. We're going to talk about everything that went right this season for the Red Sox, including their World Series win that nobody predicted just a few short months ago. But first, the other big contest in the city that will be decided next Tuesday when Boston voters head to the polls to elect a new mayor. It will either be State Representative Marty Walsh or City Councilor John Connolly. And we're going to hear one more time from each of them today and tomorrow, beginning right now with John Connolly, who joins us live in the studio. And John, welcome back. Good to have you.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And I got to ask you, where were you last night? What's your reaction to this exciting World Series championship?
Well, I mean, it's awesome. And I never thought I'd be able to say 3 Red Sox World Series in my lifetime after,
I know, right?
You know, the first 31 years of my life with zero, but I think it was great. I used to be a vendor at Fenway Park. That was I did six years there. It was a great job, and they did not win so much when I was there. So this was great.
It's definitely a new era. Well, listeners, no doubt many of you are still focused on last night's big Red Sox triumph, but we're talking now about the future of Boston, a chance to elect a new mayor for the first time in 20 years, set a new course for the city. What's your question for John Connolly? On education, public safety, crime, affordable housing, give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. So John Connolly, let's talk a little bit about where you are in this campaign. You were the first candidate to jump into this race way back in February, well before Tom Menino even announced his intentions. For a lot of September, October, you were ahead in the polls. The race has tightened. The latest UMass Amherst post shows you behind Walsh. So it looks like you've been losing ground in recent weeks. What do you think about that? Why is that happening?
Well, listen, I led all the polls in the preliminary and finished in second. So I don't put too much stock in the polls overall. I do believe we're in a dead heat. I've tried to treat every day as though I were behind. I think ultimately the only day that matters is Tuesday, November 5th. And I believe voters are going to respond to my message. And it's been the same message since day one, that our future starts with our schools. That connects to the other issues. This is not a single issue. This is an issue that connects. If we want to have safer and healthier neighborhoods, we need better schools. If we want to have a stronger economy, we need better schools.
So better schools. I don't want to focus on that last poll, but one detail jumped out at me that I want to ask you about. As you just mentioned, you have made education your signature issue.
Yep.
And that new poll found that most people that were polled picked you as the guy who could improve education.
Mm-hmm.
It picked Walsh on everything else: crime, affordable housing, mass transit, and the economy. Does that suggest maybe you put too much attention on this one issue?
Well, I don't think I'm here today if I haven't focused on this. This is the biggest challenge the city faces. We have flourished under Tom Menino's leadership for 20 years, but if we've come up clearly short in one area, it's the Boston Public Schools. But for those who've paid close attention to my campaign and close attention to the coverage, they'll see I have very detailed thoughts on how we create jobs in Boston. And I'll put my plan up against Representative Walsh on job creation and how we strengthen that economy. I also have very clear thoughts on public safety and healthy neighborhoods and a public health agenda, in addition to really being the candidate who's been outspoken on the need to increase our arts and culture investment in the city and have a robust arts and cultural agenda throughout the city, and change the way we deliver city services. I want City Hall to function like the Apple Store. So, and people who visit my website are going to see detailed pieces on all of those issues there. And I think that I am in touch with where Boston is today and where it wants to go. I think we need a mayor who's going to be willing to take on the big decisions. And that's how I've been as a city councilor. I'm not afraid to take on the hard decisions or, you know, go right in there. And, you know, I want to take on that those big decisions. How are we going to close the achievement gap? How are we going to make sure every Bostonian can have a safe neighborhood? And I'm not going to nibble on the edges of the status quo. You know, I'm going to collaborate, listen, build consensus, but I want a broad vision for Boston's future. I want us to push harder to address the inequities in Boston.
Listeners, we're talking to John Connolly, city councilor and candidate for mayor. You can give us a call. Ask your question at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to get your question in about the future of Boston and this mayor's race. John, I wanted to ask you to address another theme that has emerged in this race, and that is class. As you know, outside pro-labor groups have tried to brand you as a son of privilege. Obviously, it's simplistic. I'd even say it's silly. But there does seem to be a sense that you are preferred by more new arrivals to Boston, perhaps by more young professional, while Walsh has used his parents' immigrant story, his working class upbringing, to make the case that he's really one with the working class people. What's your view on this class issue and how it's played out in the election?
Well, I think that it has definitely had an impact in this election. I think it's less about that strong personal story, which is you know why I love Marty, but more about the negative campaigning that really attacked my character and who I am. And you know what? I don't think voters want to hear about the negative and those pieces, but there's no doubt that that was all aimed at driving this division. You know, I am from a middle-class family in Roslindale, and, you know, borrowed to go to college, borrowed to go to law school, still paying those loans off. But you know what? I don't talk about it because I know every day that I've been given opportunities most Bostonians have not. Same with Marty. And, you know, this is about all of Boston. I want to make sure every child can go get a great education. My daughter goes to the Trotter School in Roxbury where 90% of the students are living in poverty. I see it and live it every day. I'm deeply committed to changing our schools. I see it on the streets. I've been out there on the front lines with the survivors of homicide, the people who've lost a loved one to violence in this city. You know, I've been out there with the street workers. I've been in the meetings with the gang leaders and, you know, in out there working with street workers who helped put me in a room with gang leaders to you know, see what we can do to address these real issues around violence in our streets. I'm deeply committed to every Bostonian, and I think at the end of the day, the voters of Boston are going to reject politics that thrives on division. I'm about trying to represent all of Boston and bring Boston together.
Do you blame your opponent for that? I mean, after Tuesday's debate, he said, I'd rather lose with dignity than win through negative campaigning. And he said he ran a positive campaign. He's been running a positive campaign. Do you think he has?
You know, I don't think voters want to talk about this. I think they want to hear from us about our visions. But, you know, look, I think he opened the door to the outside spending. You know, where I said to Stand for Children, get out of the race, he said he wants the money in. And anybody who didn't realize the money was going to be used for negative campaigning was being naive. There's a new super PAC in here today about to spend $500,000 on his behalf. And then his campaign themselves have sent out some crazy statements and a lot of social media driven division. But at the end of this, I don't think voters are going to care about that negative campaign, about what I have to say about it. I think they want to know who's going to make a difference and move Boston, you know, in the right direction. And, you know, I want to make those big decisions. I want to take on those tough battles. I want to bring Boston together and address the equity divide we have in this city. We're increasingly a city of very rich and very poor. Made it really hard to have a middle bind this city together. The first way we address it, improve our schools, and strive for that goal of making every school a high-quality school. Second way we address it, job creation, invest in entrepreneurs out across our neighborhoods, invest in wealth creation in communities of color. I want to bring an entrepreneurship center to Roxbury and then look to expand it beyond that. And the third way that we focus on it, a comprehensive plan for safe and healthy neighborhoods and a real community policing strategy attached to a real public health strategy. These are the bold things that are going to require changes in what we do right now. There's a lot that's working in Boston. I want to keep it working. But there are places where we need some real fundamental changes if we want to close and bridge this equity gap.
I'm going to move on to callers in just a moment, but I want to ask you one more question, and that is the Boston Globe today endorsed you. The editors suggested that Marty Walsh would be an able steward of the status quo in City Hall. That's sort of what the editorial implied, but that you would be more of a reformer, an agent of change. But it also noted all those endorsements that Walsh has won from other mayoral candidates, including Charlotte Golar Ritchie, fellow legislators, including the Progressive Caucus. It's a long list, seemed to help swing the momentum at least toward a deadlocked race, if not slightly in favor of Walsh. Why did he win so many of these high-profile endorsements?
Well, you know, I think the endorsements have had an impact, no doubt about it, and I think some of this speaks to, you know, Marty's deep, longstanding political relationships with legislators for 16 years. But I'm somebody who collaborates. You know, I worked with, including the people who've endorsed him, you know, three of them I've worked with on significant legislative or programming efforts cooperatively. They're all my friends. I'm going to work cooperatively with them when I'm mayor. And, you know, to me, I think part of this is I am a reformer. Sometimes I ruffle some feathers, but I always work collaboratively, ultimately, in trying to get us to work together. But what I've tended to do is sometimes bypass the political infrastructure and some of that those political mechanics and inside games, and gone straight to the people. My schoolwork has always been premised on going to parents and students first and holding in-depth meetings with them and then pushing for reform. My work on violence has been about going out to the street workers and the youth workers and meeting with them and understanding what's going on the street level. And my work on jobs has been about reaching out to the innovation community, trying to understand what's going on there, reaching out to entrepreneurs in Roxbury, Dorchester, Roslindale, Mattapan. And I have built a real grassroots network of support that I think wants real change. And mm-hmm. in a sense, some of that may be scary to the status quo and to people who are in there right now. But I'm going to work collaboratively. But I think we need to change some things.
Listeners, we're talking to John Connolly, candidate for mayor of Boston. Let's take some calls, John, if that's okay with you. Andrew is calling from Jamaica Plain. Andrew, you're a Boston public school teacher.
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you.
So in less about the campaign, I guess, and more about moving forward, Mr. Connolly, since you're talking about bringing everyone together. Obviously, the union and Boston Public Schools teachers haven't been necessarily on your side. Full transparency, sometimes I include myself in that, depending on the issue. But my question is, so if elected, what will you do to get teachers on board with this vision you have for improving our schools? I think us working in the front lines, we see what the gap looks like on a daily basis, and we see the impact it has on communities and on families and on students. So how will you go about engaging teachers in your efforts to move the district and the city forward?
Thanks, Andrew.
Sure. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. I appreciate what you do, too, Andrew. You got one of the, what I would consider the toughest job and most important job in Boston, and I appreciate you going into the classroom every day. So for starters, I've got a whole lot of Boston Public School teachers supporting me, but they tend to be more of the rank-and-file classroom and obviously not the leadership in the union. I do always have an open door with the union. I talk to Richard Stutman all the time, and I certainly always engage in open dialogue with anyone. I think one of the misconceptions in this race, you know, Marty Walsh and I are both pro-union. I have supported contracts for 37 of the 40 city unions. I want people to make a fair wage, benefits, be able to save. And when it comes to our schools, I want to work with the teachers union. I do think we need to make some changes to the contract, but I've been clear that I want to pay the teachers more to get those changes. But the biggest piece here, Andrew, is what I want to build in the Boston Public Schools is a culture of development and support for great teaching. I want to take new teachers and get them on the road to becoming great teachers. I want to take good teachers and move them to great. I want this to be recognized for the profession that it is, and I want you to get the support that you need. And I go out there all the time and meet with groups of teachers. I meet with groups of teachers all the time. Any group that will meet with me, I will go. And we don't always agree, but I do find once we can engage in real dialogue, everybody comes away understanding that, you know, one, I know our teachers are putting their heart and soul in it every day, but I think our teachers come to see that I know how hard that job is and that I want you to be supported in it. And I do think we need some changes to get that done.
Mm. John Connolly, we heard Andrew there, teacher, obviously member of the teachers union. You just said a moment ago that you and Marty Walsh are both pro-union. You've made an issue, though, of your opponent's close association with unions. So Walsh will claim that he's in a good position to negotiate with them because they trust him. Do you disagree with that idea?
Well, I think the issue here is not about unions. I think it's about independence. We're both pro-union, but the difference is that Marty has made $175,000 salary in 2012 being paid by unions to advocate for them. At the same time, he's a state representative and he's filing legislation on behalf of these unions that would compromise the fiscal health of the city.
Say more about that. How would it compromise the fiscal health of the city?
If you remove the city council's final review of union contracts and allow these arbitrator decisions to become final, had that been law during the firefighters' decision and now the police decision, that's a $200 million tax bill handed to the people of Boston. Mm. And then you've got two complicating factors on top of that. It sets the precedent for all future negotiations. So right now with this police contract, it's not that it's going to bankrupt the city. It's that it sets the precedent for the additional two police unions following, for the firefighters union next year, and then for 36 other city unions coming right behind that. We want our workers to be paid well, but we also need to guard the fiscal health of the city. And this is the second piece behind it, is ultimately when you just factor this out, what it ultimately does is it comes out of community policing programs, the ability to work on schools, parks, libraries, senior services. This is the balance a mayor's got to make. A mayor's got to represent everyone. I think we're both pro-union, but the question is Marty's a little too close, too obligated, too dependent. His legislative record reflects it. Why would it be different in City Hall?
Let's go to Larry, who's calling from the Seaport District in Boston. Hi, Larry. You're on the air with John Connolly.
Hi. Moved to Boston, back to Boston from the suburbs about 10 years ago. And I'm a senior, and we live in the Seaport District. And we very much enjoy Boston and living in town. We've enjoyed Mayor Menino's leadership in holding our taxes stable over a period of time when there's been considerable development. And what I want to know is, I know I've heard your plans for education and some of your initiatives, but I don't understand how you're going to keep the city's tax structure stable.
In other words, how are you going to pay for it?
Yeah, no, I understand. I appreciate the question, Larry. And Larry, I'm a taxpayer raising three children in this city, and it's a real struggle for everyone out there. So I hear where you are coming from. What I just want to say on this is, for starters, I've sat on the Ways and Means Committee of the City Council for all 6 years that I've been there, and have worked with the Menino administration to build fiscally responsible budgets. And that's given the city of Boston one of the best bond ratings a municipality can have, and that's what allows us to deliver services to the whole city on all these issues. I'm going to do that same piece. I'm going to be a fiscal hawk and a fiscal guardian so that we can make a difference for all Bostonians. If you look at my school plans in detail, it's premised on two pieces. The first is deep cuts to the central bureaucracy so that we reallocate resources to the school site level and build schools from the bottom up. So that doesn't require any additional funding. The second piece is premised on partnerships with colleges and universities and community-based organizations, private sector businesses, and institutions. Part of that is rethinking pilot payments and community benefits, but that doesn't require any additional residential property taxes. I know we've got to be so careful there because we're overly reliant on residential property taxes. I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize that.
John Connolly, I want to read a question from Elsa Bengel, which came in on Radio Boston's Facebook page. What's your plan for protecting the city from rising sea levels and climate change? How do you intend to tackle environmental issues if elected mayor?
This one is very much in my heart and something that the next mayor's got to be ready for on day one. And this we could face a superstorm before the next mayor's in office. In fact, we're right in the middle of the season. For all we know, it could happen next week. And what we've got to think about is had Hurricane Sandy hit Boston at high tide, it would have had 83 million square feet of flood damage. So you think about the tunnels, think about the Blue Line airport stop, you know, down by the aquarium. Think about East Boston, all those pieces that, you know, were filled in, you know, long ago. We could have a catastrophic storm that could devastate us for months, if not years, depending on the severity. So got to start with emergency preparedness, make sure that we're drilling constantly for how we deal with a storm immediately and in its aftermath, and so often disproportionately affects our poorest residents. So we got to make sure we're ready for that. But the second piece is we've also got to be committed to trying to reduce the impacts of climate change. And I served on the Climate Change Leadership Committee for the city, the only elected official to sit on it. We set our goals of an 80% carbon emission reduction by 2050, 25% by 2020. I think we have to get even more aggressive than that based on some of the projections we're looking at now. City can set the standard. I want to see zero net energy buildings and a real effort to make all of our city infrastructure zero net energy. I want to see us quadruple our commitment to solar in Boston. I also want to see a Bloomberg-style plan for the long haul. And I think we've got to be aggressive on this. And the final piece is we've got to change the building code as it relates particularly to the downtown and the seaport. And that could drive costs up to a degree, but it's a pay me now, pay me later proposition. If we don't build with that superstorm in mind, we're going to regret it. And I will make sure that we do.
John, we have about a minute left, so I wanted to end talking about public safety and crime. Once upon a time, this city was known, sort of made famous nationally for the Boston miracle. We made a lot of progress reducing violent crimes in this city. We've seen a pretty significant uptick in certain neighborhoods, parts of Roxbury, Mattapan, and Dorchester in particular. What would a Mayor Connolly do to launch a second Boston miracle?
Two big pieces. So first, we need a real community policing effort. I know that's what politicians always talk about, but let me tell you what I mean by community policing. I want to see police officers out there knocking on doors the way politicians do. I want to have it premised and measured by the number of relationships we're building out in the communities. And I think that this is so vital. Too often in Boston, we rely on community service officers to do all of our relationship building. In the districts. This is about making sure every police officer is dedicated to building relationships with everyone in the community in Boston to have that, to build that trust. That also requires changing what the Boston Police Department looks like. We've got to reflect the whole city to be effective at community policing. Second piece, we need a comprehensive plan, and that goes to public health. How are we going to deal with mental health issues, trauma issues, recovery issues, and all of those pieces?
John Connolly, candidate for mayor, I want to thank you very much for coming in. Our time is up, but listeners, you can post more questions at radioboston.org. And John, thanks so much for coming in and good luck.
Thanks, Anthony.
And listeners, Election Day just 5 days away, Tuesday, November 5th. So vote. And stay with us. When we return, we'll talk about the Red Sox and use words like redemption, heroes, champions, and wow. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.